Welcome to a Prevent Connect podcast, where we explore the prevention of violence against women. This is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault.
Hello, this is David Lee from Prevent Connect, and I am here to talk about primary prevention of sexual violence and intimate partner violence on Twitter and how Twitter can be a tool. And I'm able to talk with two of my colleagues who I frequently tweet with and share information and retweet each other. So I have Grant Stancliffe from the Washington Coalition of Sexual Assault Programs, who is also at Socratic Grant.
Hi, David.
And we also have Ashley Meyer, who is with the Attorney General's Sexual Assault Task Force in Oregon, who is also at Ashley Meyer. So, hi, Ashley.
Hi.
We're going to talk about Twitter and talk about why you use and why you like Twitter. So, Ashley, why don't you start?
I use Twitter because it's just a fantastic source of information. You get really short little bits of information with really short, easily accessible links on them. And I'd say it's about at least 50% of all the information that I put into my statewide prevention digest, just of what's current and hip and happening with prevention. I get most of it from Twitter and a lot of it from you, David.
I should have said David at Prevent Connect for people who aren't doing it. So, well, I know I get a lot from you and I get a lot from Grant, and there are several other people who I'm now getting to know because of Twitter and following their feeds. It's a great way to be able to really get that information. Grant, what do you look for in Twitter around prevention work?
Well, I use Twitter in a couple different ways, I think. In terms of using Twitter as an input, I follow a lot of really interesting people and a lot of people who are doing prevention work that I probably wouldn't have heard of without Twitter. I'm just searching for prevention or seeing something that Prevent Connect has retweeted. Or in the case of Ashley, it's funny, we live a couple hundred miles away, but I feel like I know Ashley really well just from reading her tweets, talking about prevention with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then in terms of how I use Twitter for an output, we're all on mailing lists, and there's a ton of blogs. There's a ton of things out there. And it's a really good place to be able to take something that you think is really excellent and have something to do with it instead of sending out an email to all staff or sending out an email to that one person who you think might be interested in it. You can send it out to this community of folks who are talking about prevention and let that idea that you think is really great kind of rise to the top.
One of the things I found with Twitter is it's a place to have a conversation. And last week, Ashley and I were on a web conference, and then we started tweeting about it, and then we got other people who weren't on the web conference asking questions about the ideas. And it was a way that we then got to process some of the issues and explore some of those ideas.
Yeah, I wasn't even on that web conference. I saw Ashley talking about it, then I saw you talking about it, David, and I was like, well, what's going on? And so I started reading more and searching more. I didn't have the time to be on it, but just observing some of your conversation, I was exposed to some of the ideas. I did a quick search and got an outline of the presentation and kind of felt like I knew what was going on.
Again, it is a really great way to have a conversation and to bring people into the conversation who, like Grant, weren't even on that web conference, but who are interested in the topic. It's also a way of advertising, got people to the site to see, oh, okay, well, what kind of web conference is going on? And then, you know, they're going to see what other web conferences are available as well.
Actually, something I've seen that you've done is that you take a concept that you're exploring and then you're asking people, have you used this or how can you apply that? Has that improved how you've been able to do some of your prevention work?
It's helped me connect with people I wouldn't normally connect with, even when it comes to some more famous folks like, you know, musicians or Jessica Valenti from Feminist Thing, you know, people who maybe we wouldn't normally get through to on an email, but who might be interested in a question that we raised or a note that we send to them, because on Twitter you can say basically, hey, Jessica, or hey, David, by putting an @ in front of that person's Twitter name. You're able to send them a message and see if they respond, and I found that they do oftentimes.
For those of us who do prevention work, often we're one of the one person in our organization or maybe two people in our organization that's doing prevention work. So what we don't have is that water cooler conversation where we can just say, oh, what do you think of this? Or tell the joke or share the idea or show the newspaper clipping. And that Twitter sort of now creates a virtual way of doing that. That's part of what I really love about Twitter as a way to really expand our work.
I've heard you use that analogy before of being kind of the water cooler conversation. I think that's a perfect fit. But working at a crisis center before, and hearing from folks who are doing prevention work, it's, in a way, in a lot of places, it can be a small percentage of the entire work that a community is doing in the violence against women movement. And not being able to share that nuance of really detailed and really specialized information can have a really huge isolating effect. So building that community can allow for people to share that culture, but not only sharing. I mean, I think about it, maybe this is where the Socratic comes from, and that's Socratic Grant. But I think about it 2,000 years ago, like Athens, when people were able to get on ships and sail and meet in Athens, meet in this cultural hub where they could share information, get some really great ideas floating to the top, and allowing people to be exposed to things that maybe they had never heard before.
Now you're invoking Athens. I was about to now say, well, this becomes the agora, the marketplace of ideas. Oh, I guess I went Latin there. I think that that's part of what we can do, and I really want to encourage more prevention people to use Twitter, and the nice thing about it is you can ignore it for a while, and then you can come back to it, and it's pretty easy to do, or you can just go search for rape prevention and see what people wrote about it. I do have to caution you, just looking for the word rape, you'll see a lot of appalling messages.
I think that's a way it's useful. Another example other than searching for the word rape is someone had told me about there is this new trending topic because you have trending topic on Twitter where you'd put a number in front of a word. That's the new topic. And the topic was your future wife. And it was just some really appalling things. But I found Twitter was useful in that you could get in there on that conversation and that topic feed and put in some positive messages and interrupt that in a way, add some positive messages to it.
Yeah, I like that idea, using Twitter as a site of resistance. And there's been lots of times where trending topics have been used to subvert what people are talking about and get real information about violence and sexual violence. David, you're right. I mean, you can go there right on the front page without even making an account and, you know, just type in a few keywords and see what folks are up to. For me, I use Twitter in a really weird way. You know, I don't tweet every day. Sometimes I sort of manically tweet maybe 10 or 15, and other times I'll write a little mini essay on something that I'm thinking about. But being able to kind of capture the interesting people and follow them and see what other people are talking about is really super useful.
Twitter does raise the question, and my initial skepticism about Twitter was 140 characters. How can you do anything in 140 characters? And what I found is I love the discipline of trying to write a concept really clearly in just 140 characters. And I actually think it's improved my writing.
I think it helps you be really direct, and you have to really know what you're going for. It doesn't have to be limited. I think if people are following you as a tweeter, then they can follow a chain, a thought as it develops, which I've noticed that Grant does that.
It's encouraged me to, when I have an idea that I feel like I can't get into 140 characters, to put it somewhere, and then I can always link to it from Twitter. But the idea of really trying to pack something into 140 characters is challenging, but you know, I think it does really improve your ability to say something. Also, it's helpful as a reader. You don't have to read through something that somebody has taken a long time to say. You can quickly skim. You can kind of dive in and read a bit and then dive out without a huge commitment.
I want to thank both of you for taking a couple minutes to more than 140 characters to have a conversation. But we'll tweet this once when this comes out. So people will undoubtedly find this through Twitter and follow at Socratic Grant and at Ashley Meyer and at Prevent Connect, among hundreds and thousands of others of people who are tweeting all the time around some of the messages of prevention and how we can be able to change our culture. So thank you much, and I will see you online.
Thank you for listening to this Prevent Connect podcast. Prevent Connect is a project of the California Coalition Against Sexual Assault, with funding from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. The views presented on Prevent Connect are not necessarily the views of the United States government, the CDC, or CalCASA. To learn more about Prevent Connect, visit www.preventconnect.org. For more information about CalCASA's mission or to show your support, visit calcasa.org. That's CALCASA.org.